For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, good to have you with us. A couple of minutes after the top of the hour right here. Hour number two of a scheduled three. NFL draft starts Thursday night in Green Bay. Of course, at the top, as we were just talking about it, the Giants with an interesting choice. Could it come down to Abdul Carter or Shedeur Sanders? Could it come down to Travis Hunter? We will see. But Abdul Carter is one of the, he's the top full-time defensive player. Let's put it that way, because Travis Hunter's pretty damn good as well. Cam Ward expected to go number one. And joining us right now is Jay Paterno. Of course, you know that name very well. Jay was on with us during the college football playoff, did a tremendous job. He's got a book out called Blitz, the All-Out Pressure of College Football. You can check him out on TV at Nittany Game Week and on Twitter /X at Jay Paterno. And he's with us here in the District of Columbia. Jay, it's Chris Russell again. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Great. Doing great and great to be here.
Absolutely. Good to have you with us. All right, so let's get to it right away because, you know, as we were just mentioning, a couple of top prospects coming out of Penn State, but specifically in that top three. Abdul Carter is a what in your eyes? Fill in the blank for me. Is he a freak? Is he a warrior? Is he just really damn good? How do you view Abdul Carter?
Probably all of the above. No, I think the thing about Abdul Carter is, you know, he only moved to edge this year. And I don't think he got his first sack till week three or four, whatever it was. But you could see him really take off as the season went on, as he got in the Big Ten schedule. So when you look at him, the scary thing about him, as highly rated as he is, he has 1 year at edge, which means there is still tremendous upside for him as a rush end guy. Plus, having been a stand-up linebacker for 2 years, he gives you some versatility in that you could put him up as a stand-up linebacker against the run or blitz him and get him on running backs one-on-one in pass protection. So he doesn't have to be that guy that just stands on the left side and now your best offensive tackle is going to try and match up and take him. He can go, and you can move him all over the place. So he's a scary prospect in that he hasn't even reached his full potential in that position yet.
When you compare him to somebody, you often hear Micah Parsons. Is that who you would compare him to?
Yeah, that's probably, very similar size. Both guys started out as stand-up linebackers who became edge rushers. If you look at a guy like LeVar Arrington who played at Penn State, if he was coming out now, we probably would have moved him to an edge rusher as well during his college career, because that position now, what guys that are those 255-pound linebackers have figured out is the money is at the edge, not at linebacker. Much like, you know, that's where people are investing. Because if you look at what the Eagles just did in the Super Bowl, and I know for Commanders fans that's not what you want to hear, but what the Eagles just did, they won that game because of pass rush. And that's the best way to neutralize that big-time quarterback is pass rush. and everybody's going to put their money where their mouth is.
You mentioned what they would have done with LeVar, and got to work with LeVar for a couple of years here.
Yep.
So I know him pretty well, and I've heard a lot of stories about his time in Happy Valley. But as you mentioned, what the trend is, right? And of course, yep, we know how much pass rush is. How much has the athletic traits, the traits that you have to have, how much has that changed in college football and now into the NFL as that position metamorphosis, if you will, has changed? Is it about learning how to close, or is it something else? Is it twitchiness? How do you describe that, Jay?
I think the first two or three steps on those guys are vital. We used to do, when we did 40-yard times at Penn State, you know, we would do it electronically. So we'd get a 10-yard time,
right,
a 20-yard time, and then a 20-40. For the pass rush guys, that 10-yard time was critical. For your wideouts, the 10-yard time was certainly important, but what we call the delta time, your 20 to the 40, that shows you how you accelerated downfield. But when you're talking about those pass rush guys, those first couple steps put so much pressure on an offensive tackle, especially when the defense is at home and they're having trouble hearing and they're trying to see where the ball's being snapped. Those first couple steps, and Carter has that, really can come off the ball very, very quickly and puts a lot of pressure on those guys. And that, you know, once you have that guy that can beat that tackle, you look at a T.J. Watt, for example, the Steelers, you got to pay attention to him, and now you're keeping somebody in to help a tackle, and that's one less guy that's out in your pass route. So those first steps are really, really critical, and that's probably the thing that everybody looks for first.
Jay Paterno with us. Of course, check out his book, and we had him on about it last time. It's called Blitz, The All-Out Pressure of College Football's New Era. We're going to get to, I guess, what amounts to be a quarterback trade in college football in a little bit. We will do so. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter or X at Jay Paterno, on X and Twitter as well. If you were doing the picking and you were the Cleveland Browns at two, assuming that Cam Ward is off the board at number one, which everybody expects, are you taking Abdul Carter with Myles Garrett now back in the fold, or are you taking Travis Hunter?
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at Cleveland's roster enough, but I think, as I mentioned, pass rush is really important. The other thing is if you have that wideout that can beat you one-on-one or that lockdown corner, that also changes the game for you, because now defense, especially wideout, the defense has got to put two guys on you. Travis Hunter's not a big guy. I mean, I saw him physically. He actually, their off week, he was on game day at Penn State. He's not one of those 6'3 rangy guys. Good size, but not great size. But, you know, if you could partner up, and I'm not going to tell the Browns what to do, because clearly they know exactly what they're doing every year.
It worked 2 years ago, Jay, with five quarterbacks. It hasn't worked any other year.
No. But, I mean, all kidding aside, if you have the ability to have two pass rushers like that, now the question is, how much money can you put into those two pass rushers? And I don't know what their salary cap thing is, but I, you know, that's a good problem to have with both those guys, because both of them are exceptional talents. Now, I'm biased as a Penn State guy. I'm saying take Abdul Carter, because the higher he goes, the better it is for Penn State.
Sure. Before I get to Ty Warren, just kind of capitalizing off of that, James Franklin has had so much success there, and yet, you know, there's the criticism, which there is just when you're a head coach in any at any level. What do you make out of all that? And what would you describe as the current temperature, if you will, not weather outside, but the current temperature football-wise at State College, being that, well, quite honestly, you've been immersed in it all your life with everything that your dad was?
Well, I think the expectations this season are sky high. They have, you know, they've got the two running backs back, they've got the quarterback back, and for the fan base, that's all you need is a quarterback. Everybody thinks quarterback needs to go out and win everything by himself. You got your guy back, it puts you out there. I think there's no Michigan on the schedule. I think Michigan will be much better this year, and I think that helps. Oregon probably will not be as good as they were a year ago, because Dylan Gabriel, quarterback, made them different. We play Oregon At home here, we go to Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State be as good, now that I said that, I probably jinxed it, as they were. So the fan expectation, because of the 12-team playoff, because of the opportunity, even if you were to stub your toe at Ohio State, you still have a chance to win the Big Ten, still have a chance to get into the playoff and go deep like they did last year. Now, what the seeding looks like, certainly the seeding helped Penn State last year, but I think the fans' temperature has really ratcheted up. But look, I was a coach on staff. We went 11-1 twice, and everybody complained about the one.
Right, right.
So that's just the nature of fans. And but so much money and has been put into this program. When you talk about James's salary, what he's been paid, and what is left on his contract, and when you talk of facilities, we're at roughly $1 billion. That's billion with a B, that we have put into football to try and get to where we want to get to. So this is the year where it all kind of comes to a head, and the talk is that, you know, national championship or bust. We'll see. Nobody realizes how hard it is to really win the whole thing, but that's the temperature in Happy Valley right now.
I mean, that it's not an enviable position. I was going to say, and it's hard. You know, listen, as a coach, and you know this, you try and block it out, but you're a human being. Yep. And you have family, and you have friends, and you have, you know, people that don't necessarily have to block it out, and that maybe relay that to. It's just, it's really a no-win situation. All right, that's a good perspective.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Jay Paterno with us on the Team 980 here in D.C. All right, Tyler Warren from Penn State as well. Tight end, not as good as Brock Bowers from what I've seen, but had some huge games and certainly is a top-rated prospect and, you know, the top-rated tight end in the class. What do you like about Tyler Warren?
Oh, I think he's just a fun football player. Well, he's immensely talented. Let's start with that physically. Okay, there's a guy that can do so many things. The other thing about him is from a mental standpoint, he did so many things for Penn State last year. I mean, look, it's not often you say about a tight end, if he wasn't on your team, you lose 2 or 3 more games. And that's the case with Tyler Warren. Mm-hmm. They probably lose at USC if they don't have him. They probably lose another one because he's that good.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that played running back, played wildcat quarterback, punted the ball, threw passes. And you know, he's a guy that just creates all kinds of matchup problems for you in the pass game. But also, if you put him in the backfield, he can pass protect. But also, now you got him on a linebacker one-on-one, and you can hand him the ball. His instincts as a ball carrier are really underrated. I mean, I've watched the guy literally with a guard coming in to kick out an end. Sets the end up by stepping outside and then cutting north and south off that same foot and getting upfield. That's hard to teach, and that comes from the mental, the head from the neck up. He's just such a smart football player. Whoever gets him is going to have a lot of fun putting him all over the place and creating problems once he gets himself established.
Is tight end the position when you watch college football and NFL that it's kind of – we're again talking about the traditional linebacker to edge and the kind of change as we've gone along. Is that the position, because of the versatility that you look at, that's maybe changed the most on the offensive side?
Well, yeah, I think everybody's looking for that guy that can create matchup problems for linebackers and saying, I'm going to make you cover him with a safety, and you better have a big safety because I'm not a big tight end, or I'm going to make you double him up because you can make somebody double him up and have to take care of him. That opens you up on the outside one-on-one. So I think that's what everybody's looking at right now with the tight end position. And if you have that guy that can block and do a bunch of things like Warren can, now not only do you have to double him up, I mean, you got to account for him in a lot of different ways, and it helps you open up the run game. And if you've got a running quarterback, you know, you look at what the Commanders have at quarterback right now, those guys drive you up a wall. Because now if you got to double up a tight end, now that means you can't bring another guy down the box to take care of the quarterback run game. So, yeah, those things, the tight ends really open up a lot of things for people.
Of course, you follow other teams and other conferences, but just staying in the Big Ten and some of Penn State's biggest rivalries, Ohio State, Michigan, what have you, is there a guy or two that has really caught your eye that you say, all right, I think that guy's going to be a stud on the next level. Is it Abuka? Is it the corner? What's his first name? Is it Will Johnson? So many names floating around in my mind. From Michigan, yeah. Is there anybody that you go, man, that dude's going to be a beast?
Oh, I think the wideouts from Ohio State are really, really good. I think the inside defensive tackle from Michigan was really good. I'll tell you one guy that I think can go, will probably, I don't know where he'll go in the draft, but to me might be Russell Wilson, is Dillon Gabriel, Oregon. I saw him play at Oklahoma 2 years ago, and he had a game-winning drive to beat Texas, and I saw him live. And I was out at Eugene, Oregon, watching him against Ohio State. And I see, he throws a very similar deep ball to Russell Wilson. He's similar in stature, same kind of mobility that'll give you fits. He's not going to run the ball 12, 15 times a game. He'll drive you nuts, though, because when he's on the move, he can find guys down the field. That's a guy that, you know, won't be a first rounder, but later in the draft, everybody forgets Russell Wilson, I think, went in the third round. And Dillon Gabriel's got that kind of work ethic and intelligence from what everybody talks about in terms of studying the game. But that's a guy that no one's talking about. I think Tez Johnson's come out of Oregon. His speed is ridiculous. Having seen him run routes live. But I mean, the Big Ten is just awash in talent right now. There's so many guys that are out there that that are coming out of the draft, but I mean, you start to look at the next couple of years.
Curious, one more on the Big Ten and Ohio State and just kind of those type teams. And I, it's interesting. I didn't think of Dillon Gabriel in that regard. So that's really good insight. But Trevion Henderson is a guy the Commanders have been connected to a lot and a lot recently. Yet it seemed like he was spelled more down the stretch in Ohio State's run. What do you make of Trevion Henderson on the next level? Is he just a primary pass-catching back, third-down back? Or can he do a little bit of like what maybe Bucky Irvin did last year as a fourth-round pick out of Oregon for Tampa?
I've seen him outrun Penn State's defense on the field live, so I know he can play. And I think what Ohio State did a really good job of is using both those guys, understanding that you're looking at a 16 or 17 game season. I think everybody is now starting to evaluate. You know, when I talked to Urban Meyer, you know, he and I talk a bunch, and he talked about the year they won it all when they played 14 games. And he said, Jay, if we had to play 15, 16, 17 games, we wouldn't have made it. But the same token, I've talked to Jim Tressel, who I still talk to, and Jim was in 1AA football for years when they had 16 games to win. And every one of them talked about how differently you have to prepare. You have to start in January thinking, we're going to play 16 games. And I think Ryan Day did a good job with both those running backs and saying, we're going to play two guys. And so down the stretch, we're going to always have somebody ready to go healthy, and we're not going to have too many miles on either guy. So I think the thing about Henderson, if you're talking about what he might do for the Commanders, I think that, you know, there's less mileage on him now than there was, and I think that's a plus. But again, he is better of the Ohio State backs. He was the better receiver of the two. he gives you more. You know, he was a really good pass protector. I think he's an all-around back that can really make an impact.
Interesting. Good stuff there. Jay Paterno, our guest. Blitz, the all-out pressure of college football's new era. All right, so before I run out of time here, I got to ask you about this crazy-ass situation between Tennessee and UCLA. Nico, whatever his last name is, goes to UCLA. The UCLA quarterback who had transferred to UCLA just this offseason, didn't even play with them, is now going to Tennessee. I mean, listen, you wrote about, of course, the pressure, and we all know the landscape has changed. Now we're getting quarterback trades after we got a quarterback holdout. Has it even gotten way messier in the last week and a half? Or is this just what we should expect moving forward, and this is kind of becoming the new status quo?
Well, with the revenue-sharing settlement that's probably going to happen soon, July 1 is this kind of drop-dead date where all of a sudden they'll fall under revenue sharing. So you're going to see a lot of people trying to grab as much money as they can before there's a salary cap, so to speak, on July 1. So I don't think it's settled down just yet. But I'm an old-school guy who loves the old model, but I'm also a realist. The reality is, until you have an employer-employee relationship between the school and the players, and you have contracts, and you have a collective bargaining agreement, then you really don't have anything. So I think that's where it's got to end. If you look at the labor market in the NFL, it's much more stable. I think you need contracts that are going to respect the role of the university and the investment they put into players, as well as the players' ability to go and play where they want. So I think that's where that's the only way this settles down. Until that settles down, you're still going to see, the NFL, they don't have unrestricted free agency in terms of if you've got 3 years left in your contract that you can just pick up and say, I'm out and hold out and go jump to another school or another team. So there has to be some regulation of this whole thing. Otherwise, like you said, you're just going to have total chaos.
Right. Excuse me. I just choked on a drink. My bad. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry for coughing in your ear. I appreciate you.
No problem.
While I gag over here, I'm going to let you run. I appreciate you as always. Thank you for being available. Good information. Enjoy the NFL draft, and I'm sure we'll be talking again as college football gets cranked up.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go. That is Jay Paterno, of course, the son of the legendary Joe Paterno. Make sure you get his book out there. Follow him on Twitter or X, at Jay Paterno on X. And good follow there and good information, and especially love a lot of his breakdowns as we get close to the NFL draft. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with part two of our questions of would you rather trade back or take a running back. Yesterday we did cornerback. Today we'll do running back. And we just talked about Trevion Henderson. Would you rather trade back or take a running back at number 29 if you're the Washington Commanders? We'll delve into that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.